Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 1. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, a stranger devoureth in your presence, and that is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye shall come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with, or I cannot bear. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading, the most own infallible and inspired word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank Thee, O God, for the word of the living God. We rejoice, our God, that Thou hast not left us to try and find our way to heaven on our own, but Thou hast said clearly in Thy word This is the way, walk ye in it. And Father, we thank Thee for every child of God here this morning who already has found that way and found Him who is the way unto salvation. And today we pray that Thou would bless every saint of God. Our Father, for any here who know not the Lord and are still walking in bypath meadow, still walking that broad road that leads to destruction, O God, we pray that Thou would speak to them by Thy power and grant, O God, that Thou would awaken them to flee from wrath to come. And Father, we pray that even this day, some soul for whom Christ died would come to meet their Lord and their Savior. Hear this, our prayer. Bless us now, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great delights of my week is on Tuesday morning when I go along to the primary assembly in our Whitfield Christian Schools. I've told you before, if you want a blessing, you go along, you hear those little children, that's a grade 3 down to a junior kindergarten. When you go there and you hear them reciting the Word of God and singing out the hymns and the choruses, and when they come to do the national anthem at the end, what a blessing it is to the soul just to hear these little ones. My joy to go every Tuesday morning and to speak to them. I do the other two assemblies as well, but the primary one is a special blessing to my own soul. Now, this past Tuesday, I was speaking to them on a verse here in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 22, "Thy silver is become dross." And so for children, you have to have really a sort of picture lesson for them. So I brought along with me a couple of silver vessels. One of them was a nice goblet, all nice and shiny and clean. And the other was a piece of silver that was lying down in a cupboard in our basement for a number of years that had not been used. And it was very, very tarnished indeed. And so I had these two for them, told them, this is what you're supposed to be like, nice and clean and bright for the Lord. And yet this is what happens when a sin comes into your life. And so I was reminding them that the silver is become dross or has become tarnished. And then I told them about verse number 16 that says, wash you, make you clean. And so I demonstrated to them how you would clean that which is tarnished and how, by extension, we can have our tarnish of sin taken away from us. Now, in between those two verses, verse 22 and verse 16, is a tremendous verse, an amazing promise of God, where He says in verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And I always think of this verse as the great debate, because God wants to debate with you. He wants to talk with you. And so this morning I want to look at that and thank the Lord that God is not a divine tyrant, but God is happy and willing to meet with you and to talk with you about some matters regarding your soul's eternal destiny. So we're going to look at this verse here. And the first thing is to look at God's invitation, because He says, "Come now and let us reason together." Now, the gospel message is something, it does go to the mind and it also goes to the heart. It is not purely an emotional message, it is a reasonable message. And so what the Lord wants us to do is to meet with Him and to talk with Him and to present the pros and the cons of the situation and the subject matter, as we shall see in a moment. The Christian gospel is not unreasonable, because you go to the New Testament and you'll find that the Apostle Paul, as he traveled here, there, and yonder, he tells us there in, for example, chapter 17 of Acts and verse number 2, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them That's the Jewish people in the synagogue in Thessalonica. On three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So it's not some airy-fairy fantasy. We're dealing here with something that is eminently reasonable. And again, in chapter 18 and verse number 4, and now in Corinth, it says, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So the situation is that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not some airy-fairy fantasy. It is a reasonable thing, and you can reason it out. Now, man does not like to reason. When it comes to practical things, yes, if he's a mechanic and he hears an engine and it's making a particular noise, he is happy to listen to it and to try and reason out from his knowledge of engineering what the problem is. And likewise, in the home or in the garden or on a place of work, you may meet some problem and you're happy to reason out what is the difficulty and then reason how it can be resolved. And so when we reason like that, well, it brings us a degree of happiness and joy because we are resolving problems. But when it comes to spiritual matters, that is when people do not like to reason, and the reason for that is because it disturbs them. And you'll notice that you can talk about all manner of subjects to people, and they'll be happy to enter in. But once you raise the matter of the gospel and the safety of their soul, then you'll discover they don't want to talk to you because it disturbs them, and they are like Felix in the book of Acts, where when Paul reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, we're told that Felix trembled. And he said to Paul, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So the human being does not really like to reason. And the natural man prefers rituals in church and in religion. He prefers something that does not cause him to have to think or to reason too deeply. In fact, he's generally happy to allow somebody else, the priest or the imam, the rabbi, minister, he's happy to allow somebody else to do the thinking for him. But this is a personal command, and God is saying, come now and let us reason together. And so God is inviting you today, and especially if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is inviting you to talk with Him, to debate with Him. Now, if you were asked today to get involved in a public debate, say in the political realm or even religious realm, say we arranged a great big debate here and had the church filled and asked you to come and take a particular position and argue that position, well, most people would run the other way because they would not want to be in a debate, especially a public debate, because it would terrify most people. But what the Lord is asking here is not a public debate. He's not asking you to come up here and stand and argue and give your reasons why you are not at this time a Christian. God wants you to come, and He shows you grace and mercy. He wants you to come, and He wants to talk to you one on one. Not through any mediator like us who would come along and preach to you. He wants you to come and face Him and talk to Him about certain things. Now He invites you to debate. And there are some reasons why you should be very quick to respond to God's invitation. First of all, that right now, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your destiny is already determined by your relationship or lack of relationship to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some years ago, I stood up in the border of Alberta and British Columbia, at a place called the Great Divide. a misnomer if ever there's one, because all there is a little river coming down, not much wider, only a few feet wide, and about 6 inches deep, and the water's just going down. And then it comes to a place where the water on the left side goes that way, it goes west, and the water that goes this way goes east, and the water that goes east goes right across the country to the Atlantic Ocean finally, and the water that goes left goes across the Pacific, over the Pacific Ocean, and so it's called the Great Divide. But when I was there, I looked at it, and there was something that really struck in my mind. And that was right in the middle where this very ordinary river divides. There is a great big rock. And the water coming down, heading on this side, goes to the Atlantic. And the water heading on that side goes to the Pacific. And so that water's destination depends on its relationship to that rock. And my friend, there are two destinations. There's the destination of heaven, and there's the destination of hell. And whether you find yourself finally in heaven or in hell will be depends upon how you relate to Jesus Christ, the rock of salvation. And right now, your destination is determined by your relationship or lack of it to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another reason why you should respond to God's invitation, and that is because your problem is understood. God knows your situation. God made you. God knows how you've sinned against Him. God knows how you've broken His law. But God understands that, and He is prepared to help you in your time of need. And this is the amazing grace of God, that God, who is the sovereign God of the universe, is saying to you, come now and let us reason together. And so the King and the Sovereign is inviting the commoner to come and talk together. But nay, it's even more than that, because it's the King inviting the criminal to come and talk, because we have all broken His law and therefore are transgressors. We are criminals in the eyes of God, and the natural man is enmity against God. And God is inviting you to come, not to waste your time or His time, but because He understands the problem that you have with regard to your sin. And there's another reason why you should respond, and that is because you have to have some action. God says, come now and let us reason together. So He invites you to come. Now, you have the choice here of actually obeying His invitation and coming along, or you can say, no, I'm not coming. But whatever it is, you're going to make a decision this morning, whether you're going to abide by God's command and come, or whether you're going to say, no, Lord, like Felix, at some more convenient season on Thee, I'll call. And you'll notice the urgency, because the Lord says, come now, not tomorrow, not next weekend, not next month, not next year, not next decade. He says, come now, right this very minute. This is the time that God wants you to come. And how do you come? You say, well, but I have to go and I've got to turn over a new life. I've got to clean up my life before I come to God. No. Charlotte Elliot, who wrote that great hymn, and the doctor, her brother actually said that she achieved more in that one hymn than her brother did, who was a minister in the long life of his ministry. And Charlotte Elliot penned that hymn, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and said, come now. And so you don't have to change. You come to God, you talk with the Lord, and you'll find that He'll do the changing, and He'll change and transform your life. So we have a God's gracious invitation here. Come now, and let us reason together. Then the next thing is God's argument, because I called this the great debate. And the Lord, He is going to debate with you, and before you come, He tells you what the agenda is. You've heard a lot in recent times about the political world, about people who have hidden agendas and so on. But there's no hidden agenda with the Lord. There's nothing that's covered over. There's no trap. There's no concealed motive. God asks you, come now and let us reason together. And then he tells you what he's going to talk about. This is what I want to talk about. Here is agenda. It's open here in this chapter. Come and talk with me. And the first item on the agenda concerns a vile sin. Because over in verse 4, he's speaking to the nation of Judah, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, the children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. And then he goes on to speak about how from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, there's nothing there but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. He's talking there about the sin of the province of Judah. But this is not only to Judah. This scripture, and Isaiah is known as the fifth evangelist sometimes, this scripture here is directed to every man, woman, and child. And so it's not just a sinful nation, it is a sinful person. And God knows about your sin. And in our verse, he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though they, your sins, be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So God wants to talk to you about this matter of sin, and especially, how do you propose to get into heaven until the sin question is dealt with, because the entrance to heaven is based on perfect righteousness. You see, you would not open the door of your house to take a skunk in, to use a very simple illustration. And it's obvious why you wouldn't want a skunk to come in as a pet. But if you had them deodorized, there's a possibility, and some people have done this, they've taken the skunk in as a pet. You would not bring an untreated one into your house because he would foul your house and your home. God's house of heaven is absolutely pristine and holy. There's no sin in heaven. So God wants to talk to you. How do you propose in your sinful state to enter into my eternal home in heaven until the sin has been taken away, until the stench of your sin has been removed from you? And then he goes on to describe it, because he says, though your sins be as scarlet. Now the scarlet there is not so much the color scarlet as the material scarlet. In the Bible, you had a material, in Bible times, you had a material called scarlet, and it's an interesting material. Because what they would do, they would take a piece of a white material, and then they would fill a vessel, and that vessel would be filled with scarlet dye. And then they'd lower the vessel, the garment down into the dye and bring it out until it's all scarlet, and they let it dry. And then they'd do the same again. They would put it down into the scarlet dye again, and so it becomes double dyed. And that's what this is talking about here, double dyed, and so it is a scarlet material and also the scarlet color. And there's a wonderful picture there, because there is a picture there of the unbeliever and the sinner going back again and again and again to the same sinful practices until they're double, triple, quadruple dyed sinners. And that's what he's talking about. But then somebody says, well, it doesn't really matter, you know, what I do. I met a man recently, and he said to me, you know, I am my own man, and I just want to be the man that I want to be. And the inference was that it's my business, nobody else is going to be hurt. Not so. Because that scarlet material there, if you were to take that scarlet material and you were to rub it on something white, you'd soon find that the dye from the scarlet is on the white. And if you think in your life that you can sin against God and you're the only one that gets hurt, don't you believe it, because in your home, your children are going to be affected by your sinful behavior. In your home, your spouse is going to be affected by your sinful behavior. And in your street, the people of your street are going to be affected by your sinful behavior, and in your place of employment likewise. Because you're not living in a vacuum. Your life will have an influence either for good or for bad. And God's question, he says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, how do you propose to enter into heaven with the stain and the stench of sin still in your life? And if you know not the Lord today, you've got to answer that question. Because if you don't answer it, you'll never be in the hallowed halls of glory prepared for those who know and love the Lord. But the second item on God's agenda just concerned not just vile sin, but it also concerned vain sacrifice. Because in verse 11, God says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? They say, but Lord, you're the one who in the book of Exodus and Leviticus taught us to sacrifice. But God is saying, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? And in verse 13, he says, bring no more vain oblations or vain sacrifices or empty sacrifices. Incense, which was commanded in the tabernacle and the temple, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot bear. It's iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. So what's the problem here? Because the Lord was the one who taught them to sacrifice. The Lord was the one who showed them that the way back to God was by the blood sacrifice. It was the Lord who showed them to bring the incense that represented prayer in the tabernacle and so on. The Lord told them to do that. Why is he therefore upset with them? The answer is simple. Because they were going through a ritual and their heart was not in the matter. Because at the bottom line, Christianity is not an organization. It's not some sort of social club. It is a matter between a man and a woman and his God, the God of heaven. And so, God's great question is, how are you going to get into heaven until your sin is removed? And how are you going to get into heaven when you're worshipping me only externally and your heart is far away? Because Christianity is religion of the heart. If you go along to a motel and you want to get into the motel, they give you a card with a code that you can put into the lock and the door opens. We were at a motel last year, I think it was, and for some reason, after we were there a day, the code was removed from the card. Couldn't get in. Oh, the card okay, this is the card they gave us. Wouldn't work, couldn't get in. And my friend, to get into heaven, you have to have the right card and the right code. And that is our blessed Lord and our Savior. And if you have not Christ as your Savior and your sin blotted out, then you're not going to get into heaven. The third point is God's offer. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And here's his offer. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When I spoke to the children last week about the tarnished silver, that I told them the tarnish doesn't appear overnight. You go to bed at night, your vessel's all nice and clean and shiny and silvery. The next morning it's all tarnished. It doesn't work like that. It works over a period of time, and there's a build-up. And friends, sin is just the same, because it builds up, and it builds up over years and years of sinful neglect. And right now, if you're not a Christian, you are at your most tarnished that you have ever been in your life. You say, preacher, how can you say that? I can say that because as a child you committed sins, as a youth you committed sins added to the sins of your childhood, as a young man, young woman, more sins added to the sins of youth and your childhood. And so at this point in time, you've committed more sin than you have at any other time. So right now, you're at, as it were, your very worst. And the question comes, how am I, how are you going to have the sin of your life and the stain of sin removed? That's why God's offer here is the most fantastic offer you'll ever see. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You will never get a better deal than that anywhere. For the Lord is willing to blot out all your sins. That's why he wants to talk to you and show you how that can be. You ask the question, well, how can it be? How can my sin be taken away? Well, on Tuesday morning, I was speaking to the primary students, giving them that little illustration of the two silver vessels. I brought along some things with me. I brought along, first of all, just a piece of white cloth, a piece of dry cloth. And I said, let's try and clean the tarnish off the silver with this piece of cloth, and rubbed it, and nothing happened. Then I told them that some people have the idea that they can blot out the tarnish of their sins by the dry cloth of church attendance. Now, it's good to come to church. It's good to listen to the Word of God. But some people go because they go along there because it gives them a better look in the community. You come to church not for that. You come to church to worship the Lord and to have your sin dealt with by the Lord. And so, ritual of the church will not do any good. It will not blot out your sins. Then I had with me, too, a little white cloth that was wet with water. Maybe, perhaps, if we use water, we can wash the tarnish off. And I rubbed it and didn't wash the tarnish off. Won't come off at all. And some people feel that they can remove the tarnish and the stain and the stench of sin by the wet cloth of their good works. If I do something good, well, maybe that'll blot my sins out. But the trouble is, my friend, I've told you before, that the past in time doesn't exist. The past does not exist. Oh, you can read about it. You can see videos of it. You can listen to audios of it. But the past does not actually exist. Because, say, for example, you made a mistake and you want to go back, oh, I'd love to correct that. But you can't, because you made it in the past and you can't get back to the past to correct it. And so therefore, any sin that you have committed, you cannot get back to it to undo it and do it right. You can't do it, because the past does not exist, only the present and what may be in the future for us. So, how can you get back by doing good works now in the present to remove the stain that was there in the past? Doesn't work. So I told the young people, not by the dry cloth of church attendance and rituals, not by the wet cloth of good works. I told them it needs a special cleanser. So what I did, I got a piece of red cloth. This is just a napkin, but I got a piece of red cloth. And inside it, I put some silver polish in a sort of a cotton thing, put it inside, and then I said, let's try this. And I told them about what it says there in the book of 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, the kids didn't know that I had polish in here. All they saw was the red, so I rubbed the center of this little tray, and it came nice and shiny. And they were amazed to see how that was cleansed away. And friends, that's just a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he completely takes away the sin. But then there was something that struck me that I'd never seen before. And that was, I'm looking at the piece of cloth that I had. And what I discover, where was the tarnish? The tarnish wasn't on the little tray that I used. The tarnish was on the cloth. And my, what an illustration of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who bears the tarnish of our sin. He is the one who by his precious blood cleanses it away. And it passes from us so that we become clean and white. And he bears on the cross the sins that you and I should have been crucified for. And so our whole sin is moved into his. You take any washing. You wash your car. Car's covered in dirt. Where's the dirt go to? Under the sponge. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one that bears the cleansing of your sins. And that's pictured for us way back in the Old Testament in the Day of Atonement, where you read there in the book of Leviticus chapter 16, where they had two goats. And on the Day of Atonement, one of those goats was killed and its precious blood was shed. So the place ran red with the blood. And that is a picture of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Very akin to the day of the Passover, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So the Lord Jesus, he bears our sins away. On the Day of Atonement, there was a second goat, and the second goat was brought live to Aaron, the high priest. And it says, Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat. Then what happened? It says, they shall send him, that's the goat, they'll send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And that goat is also a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the goat of sacrifice that pictures the cross. And you have the scapegoat, as it's known, bearing away the sins of the people that they'll see them no more. That here in this verse here on our pulpit wall, behold the Lamb of God which taketh or beareth away the sin of the world. And so, my friend, today you have the glorious hope in this invitation that God makes. He wants to talk to you. He wants to come and talk to him. He's telling you what he wants to talk about. Want to talk about sin? How are you going into heaven if you have sinned? How are you going to get the stench and the stain taken away? He wants to talk, how are you going to, by religious observances, where your heart is not in it, how are you going to possibly get your sin removed and get into heaven? And then he makes this stupendous offer. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This, my friend, is a conditional promise, because look at the next verse. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So God gives the opportunity. Come, talk about it. Let's get it put right. If you're obedient, you'll be blessed. If you're disobedient, you'll be devoured in the flames of a Christless hell. My friend, today, God is reaching out His hand. Jesus Christ is reaching out His nail-pierced hand, and He's saying, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My friend, if you know not Christ today, we invite you today to come to Him, because He alone can blot out the stain and the stench of your sin. We invite you to come. And if I can be of any help to you at the end of the service, I'd be glad to sit down and talk with you and explain a little more regarding the gospel, because the good news of this offer, this stupendous offer from God today, is that this very day, this very moment in time, you can be born again. And your sins blotted out, you can become a new creature. You can be made ready for heaven through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave, because, as the Bible tells us, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the clarity of the Word of God. And we pray, O God, for any who are here today who know not the Lord, that Thou would speak to them clearly, that the wayfaring man, though a fool, would not err therein. And grant, O God, that they may ask themselves the question, how shall I ever get to heaven without the cleansing away of my sins? And Father, we pray that Thou would draw them by the Holy Spirit unto Thyself. We pray that even this day they'd be born again of the Spirit of God. O God, answer prayer. Glorify Thy Son, and bless those who need desperately to meet Him today. Hear this, our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 390.